and welcome to The Catholic Journey. This is Deacon Pat coming to you from the studios in Northern California and in the Sacramento Diocese. Well, we're coming up to another Sunday, and I have a quick message that I'd like to share with you. Let me share the gospel with you first. That's going to be shared at all the Catholic churches around the country, and then we'll dive in a little bit and see what that might mean for us here today. It's from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 33 through 43. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to the tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They all answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death, and lease his vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." Well, what does that actually mean? What does it mean for us today? Well, let me share with you a short homily. This was written by Father Michael Marsh. I found this many years ago, and I thought it was a good one. Jesus said to them, "Listen to another parable." He could have just said, "Get ready for another confrontation between the Pharisees and me." Regardless of what you think about the Pharisees, you got to give them some credit today. They got it. They understood the parable. They heard Jesus. They realized he was talking about them. Jesus held before them a truth they didn't like, and they wanted to put a stop to it. They wanted to arrest him. This is neither Jesus' first nor last confrontation with the Pharisees. Unlike most of us who tend to avoid those with whom we have a conflict or confrontation, Jesus doesn't. He just keeps on coming. At every turn, he is offending, aggravating, and confronting the Pharisees. He eats with the wrong people. He won't answer their questions. He taunts them by breaking the law and healing on the Sabbath. He calls them hypocrites and blind leaders. He escapes their traps. He leaves them speechless. He rattles off a string of woes against them and even compares them to a disobedient son who will not work in the vineyard. They just can't catch a break with Jesus. He never lets up. So what is this really all about? Why can't he just let go of them? And what does this have to do with us? Is Jesus looking for a fight? I don't think so. Is his primary motivation to expose and condemn those who do not follow him? I don't think so. Is he keeping score and naming all the attitudes and behaviors of the Pharisees that he considers wrong? Is Jesus trying to exclude from the kingdom of God the religious leaders of his day? I don't think so. Here's what I think these confrontations are about. Jesus is unwilling to give up the Pharisees, or anyone else for that matter. Jesus is unwilling to give up on you or me. He just keeps on coming. That is the good news, the hope, and joy in today's parable. This is not so much a parable of exclusion or condemnation, as it is a parable of Jesus' unwillingness to give up. His unwillingness to give up on us often confronts us with truth about our lives that is almost always difficult to hear and accept. We might hear his words, but do we realize he is talking about us? This parable and confrontation this parable provokes are like a mirror held before us, so that we might see and recognize in ourselves what Jesus sees and recognizes. This is not to condemn us, but to recover us from the places of our self-exclusion, to call us back to life, and to lead us home. Jesus doesn't exclude us or anyone else from the kingdom of God. He doesn't have to. We do it to ourselves, and we're pretty good at it. That's what the Pharisees have done. The Pharisees have excluded themselves. The kingdom of God will be taken away from you, Jesus says to them. This is not so much a punishment for failing to produce kingdom fruits. It is, rather, a recognition of what already is. They were given the vineyard and failed to produce and share the fruits of the kingdom. Jesus is just naming the reality, the truth. They have excluded themselves. In the same way, the kingdom of God will be given to those who are already producing kingdom fruits. This is not a reward, but a recognition of what already is. Where the fruit is, there also is the kingdom. If you want to know what the fruit of the kingdom looks like, then look at the life of God revealed in Jesus Christ. What do you see? Love, intimacy, mercy, and forgiveness, justice, generosity, compassion, presence, wisdom, truth, healing, recognition, self-surrender, joy, thanksgiving, peace, obedience, and humility. I'm not talking about these things as abstract ideas, but as lived realities in the vineyards of our lives. We've all been given vineyards. They are the people, relationships, circumstances, and events of our lives that God has entrusted to our care. That means our spouse and marriage, children and family, our work, our church, our daily decisions and choices, our hopes, dreams, and concerns are all the vineyards in which we are to reveal the presence and life of God, to produce the fruits of the kingdom. The vineyards, our work in those vineyards, and the fruit produced come together to show us to be sharers in God's kingdom or not. To the degree we are not producing kingdom fruits, we have excluded ourselves from and rejected our share in the kingdom. We are living neither as the people of God knows us to be, nor as the people we truly want to be. In some way, we have stepped outside of ourselves and sidestepped our own life. That's the truth with which Jesus confronted the Pharisees. It's the same truth with which Jesus confronts us. You might ask, how does this happen? And what does self-exclusion really look like? Here's what I'm wondering. Do you ever struggle with perfectionism, self-condemnation, and the question of whether you're enough? Maybe that's self-exclusion. Do you ever feel like you have to be in control, be right, have all the answers? Maybe that's self-exclusion. Are you carrying grudges, anger, and resentments? Do you look at others and begin making judgments about their beliefs and choices? Are there people in your life that you have chosen to let go rather than to work on reconciliation and heal the relationship? Do you go through life on autopilot, going through the motions but never really being present, never showing up? In your life, is there more criticism and cynicism than thanksgiving and celebration? Are you hanging on to some old guilt that you believe could not be forgiven? The antidote to our self-exclusion from God's kingdom begins with first recognizing that self-exclusion. That means we must look at the vineyards of our lives And when we do, what do we see? How is our garden growing? Is there fruit? Is there life? Are we sharing in God's kingdom? These are all questions that we should and must ask of ourselves, and more importantly, we need to honestly answer them, recognizing how and when we self-exclude ourselves from God and His kingdom. And then making honest and sincere changes in our lives is the most important thing we can do today to save our lives, our present life, our future life, and most importantly, our eternal life. Knowing that we are all sinners, let's take a moment and ask God to open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds, allowing His grace to enter into us, and pray that He helps us to see, like the Pharisees, just how we have been separating ourselves from the kingdom of God. Yet at the same time, we must never forget just how truly loved and desired we are by Christ, and that no matter how many times we fall, no matter how many times we have turned away, He never gives up. He is always there. And that, my friends, is the good news of the gospel today. Well, that's the breakdown of the gospel. That is the short homily that I wanted to share with you. As you can see, it's packed full of lots of things for us to kind of ponder, to think about, and to kind of hold up against our perception of our lives. There's always room for growth, but never forget how much we're truly loved and that God is always calling us to grow ever closer to Him. May God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful week.